William, let's talk a little bit about why you call this the dimension of the blessed. How did that phrase come about?
Well, for a long while, I had been collecting various myths and stories about, especially the Egyptian stories about the field of the blessed. And it was actually our good friend and colleague, Sir Lawrence Gardner, who came along in his book, Lost Secrets of the Sacred Ark, and said that the field of the blessed was also known as the dimension of the blessed. And Lawrence made an amazing case that the ancient Egyptian mystic pharaohs manufactured a substance called mufkit or manna that enabled them to communicate with this dimension and actually enter into it.
Now, this is not, is this like the powdered white gold?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I thought. Well, I haven't talked about that in a long time. Are people still using that?
I think they are, and I've really kind of discouraged people from that, just because we're not reproducing the ancient mufkit, in my opinion. And so, you know, experiment if you like, but I think we need to do more looking into that matter.
Let's talk a little bit about these graphics that you supplied us on the coasttocoastam.com website, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Elaborate a little bit more on them, if you would, William.
Yeah, in number one, what I call the wormhole ships, we see the clear comparison between the way modern science portrays a wormhole or a stargate and the way the ancient Egyptians portrayed the ships that their gods would sail upon into eternity. They're sailing across the waters of the Nile, which is the heavenly Nile, also known as the Milky Way. And what we see on the bottom of that page is Osiris star walking on his wormhole boat. Now, it's important to note that this wormhole boat is referred to as, in the Egyptian term, a celestial ferry. In other words, this was a means of conveyance. This was the ship that this god, Osiris and others, would sail upon into eternity. Now, here's something really interesting, George. When they're crossing the waters of the heavenly Nile, the Milky Way, on this ferry boat, they're in a vehicle for crossing the stars.
Mm-hmm.
The terms that I'm using here, ferry boat, and method of crossing, were also applied by the Sumerians to Nibiru.
That's interesting.
The planet, the supposed planet of the Anunnaki. And, of course, I've gone on record and saying, well, wait a minute. If all this adds up right, it suggests that Nibiru may not be a planet after all. The Anunnaki are entering this realm through a stargate or a wormhole. And lo and behold, here come the Egyptian, the pyramid texts, which are loaded with references to crossing the expanse of the heavenly waters, and describe in particular the process of transformation that's undergone by these initiates on his journey to the stars. And as the pyramid texts tell us, which cover some of the tombs in ancient Egypt, they tell us that as the initiate achieves illumination of the divine world, the dimension of the blessed, that he then boards this ferry, this celestial boat that resembles a wormhole, and sails into eternity upon it.
What does Nibiru mean, William? Do you know?
Well, when you go to the Chicago Assyrian Dictionary, which is considered to be the benchmark for the Sumerian language, the dictionaries left by the Sumerians, they tell us that the word Nibiru has a variety of meanings. All of them are related to the idea of crossing, or being some form of a crossing marker, or especially a crossing point. And when you see Nibiru in these dictionaries, it's preceded by a D, which is the Sumerian superscript for deity, and also by Mul, which is the cuneiform sign for star. And so from this, we deduce that Nibiru is a star, a gate, a crossing point, and a deity.
How did all this ancient knowledge, how did it all come about?
Well, when you dig on down to the very bedrock of some of these creation mythologies, especially in Egypt and Sumeria, you're talking about instructors that came from the stars, especially Sirius. And these were these instructors brought this knowledge along with the symbol system that we're looking at here, including these wormhole symbols, to us and left them for us to rediscover at a later time.
Are we ready for it now?
Well, we're going to get a shot at it. We're stepping up to the plate here, and we're going to find out how ready we are. And that's why it's so important for everybody to recognize that we're all on this boat together. And in fact, when they talk about these creation mythologies, the field of reeds is another name for this field of the blessed or the dimension of the blessed. And one of the key images that they use is the bundle of reeds, the bundle of sticks. The idea being that a single reed does not have the strength that a bundle of reeds has.
And so you're very meticulous when it comes to symbols, aren't you?
Well, they're the language of the gods.
Yeah.
It's the language of the enlightened beings. And if we can tap into the symbols, I believe they activate knowledge within us. I think a lot of this knowledge is already hardwired into our DNA. What we need is the software, the symbols that will enable it to be activated.
You remind me of a younger version of Jordan Maxwell. When you talk about symbols and things like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jordan, of course, is a symbol master, and I always like the story. Jordan, where were you when JFK was assassinated? Oh, I was on my way to give a talk about the Illuminati.
how fascinating that was. Parallel dimensions, stargates, very important. You've done a lot of work in this arena. As a matter of fact, a lot of your work has to do with this. What's going on these days scientifically? I mean, they talk about a major black hole in the center of the Milky Way. They witnessed last week a star apparently that got sucked in by a dark one of those black holes. What's happening in the universe, William?
Well, I'm tracking two major, what I call, galaxy-sized trends. One is we're learning the basic secrets of the universe. We're talking basic secrets from a galactic perspective. We're learning that we're citizens of the galaxy. We're learning what our bodies are made of, stardust. We're learning that there's a black hole at the center of our galaxy, that is possibly a gateway to other dimensions. At the same time that we're accumulating that whole body of knowledge, a literal transformation of the human body is underway as well. We're transforming ourselves from offline organic beings to online, semi-digital, other dimensional beings.